The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes would come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within, people from their hearts come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. By way of this homily, what I'd like to do this morning is to break open our gospel from Mark chapter 7 and then to demonstrate its relationship to the first reading from Deuteronomy. This reading that we just heard proclaimed so sacred to the Jews in regards to their status as God's chosen people and their relationship with the law of God. So first, what is happening in today's gospel? What is the interplay here between Jesus and the Pharisees? Mark makes mention here that there were many traditions that the Jews had developed over the centuries that regarded things that pertained to their ritual worship being purified and ready to enter into the temple to worship. But as in the case of you perhaps were paying attention, many of these things had to do with hygiene, right? This is long before Purell and hand sanitizer, right? The Jews are very concerned about contagion. Makes sense. And especially in the ancient world, where there was no recourse to modern medicine, many times when you got an infection, that could be it. That could be the end. But what Jesus is really concerned about here, it's not so much all of the details of the particular precepts that they were following, but he's looking at a bigger picture in regards to how the Jews were viewing the law itself as merely an external function and one that was well completed and well fulfilled if one was just following the external precepts. Jesus, on the other hand, while interested in these external precepts, is far more interested in the internal dispositions that individuals have that animate external observance of any law, any rule. So you notice here that he's not just simply talking about following the rules, but he's far more interested in what is going on within a person that helps establish the ethos for external observance. And this is very much at the very heart of the Christian moral law. That is, it is not enough to just be an external observer of rules, but far more important is what is going on internally that animates it. Unfortunately, we live in times when people either choose external observance or internal dispositions. The Catholic way has always been the both great, both and. both external and internal. I'll give you an example. Jesus says, "You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, even he who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So someone might say, "Well, I technically haven't committed adultery." Jesus says, "Get it, I know. But guess what? Everything going on inside of you internally is already being lived in an adulterous spirit." So part of Jesus' critique of the Pharisees is their insistence that external observance of the law made one righteous in front of God, regardless of what was going on inside. In our tradition, we rely on both parts being sound. Now, this is a very, very important part of the way even we conduct ourselves as Catholics in the world. And here, I think we should turn to this reading from Deuteronomy in order to better illustrate the proper dispositions that even the Jews had very, very early on in regards to their status as chosen people, but the way that they view the law, because it should inform the way we think about the moral law of the church. For instance, here in Deuteronomy, Moses is instructing the people, the Jewish nations. He says, "Observe them carefully," that is, the law, "for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to all the nations, who will hear of these statutes, the law, and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as his whole law, which I am setting before you today?" Oh, poignant words, brothers and sisters. Let us look more closely at what they mean. What Moses is describing is what we in the Catholic dispensation talk about, how obedience to God's law is our source for interior freedom. In other words, obedience sets us free. It opens us up to live not merely the way we want, but the way we should. The Jews rejoice in this particular scene from Deuteronomy that they have actually been given the law as a gift. A gift. Now, how many Catholics think of the Ten Commandments as a gift? Many of us think of it as a burden. Right? And you're thinking, as you're making your examination of conscience, waiting online for confession on Saturday afternoon, all right, what have I been able to avoid? But do you look at this Ten Commandments and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this gift of the law, which is fulfilled in the law of love that Mark describes in our gospel today"? You see, it seems that we have this very misconstrued notion of what freedom really means. This is straight from my course this past week in moral theology. When we think about our freedom, we think about not being constrained by anyone or anything who tells us how to live or how to think or how to act, let alone the church. So in other words, we're free when we don't have the burden of law. But that makes us slaves to caprice, licentiousness. We end up becoming actually slaves to our passions if the law doesn't actually instruct us towards freedom. We, in our tradition, look at the law as a modicum for human flourishing. It is truly when we truly experience human freedom when we're actually obedient to God's commands. By the way, you'll see this happen in the lives of people who have what are called reversions, meaning they're Catholics who fell away and then after some time came back to the faith, having hit rock bottom, oftentimes morally, figuring out that doing theology a la Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way," was not really going to work for them. I mean, they thought at first this was going to set them free. And how many Catholics or former Catholics or non-practicing Catholics do I meet on an almost regular basis? They'll see my collar and they'll say, "You know, Father, I was raised Catholic." Well, that's usually code language I no longer practice. So no one doesn't tell me they're raised Catholic and isn't practicing. Okay? Because the next thing they'll say is if they're practicing, they won't tell you they were raised Catholic. They'll tell you what parish they go to. And they want to know where you are a priest at. That's what they want to know. But then they say, I was raised Catholic. And then if you follow the logic, what they're saying is, but I figured out that all those Catholic rules and regulations were setting me back and holding me down. And they were keeping me from my real me. Oh, please. Pathetic. Pathetic. That I finally found freedom by abandoning Jesus. Now, ask the revert. They'll tell you the exact opposite. I thought that was the road to go, but I actually found freedom by coming into communion and friendship and obedience to the moral law of Christ. This has really set me free. So, in other words, the law in our tradition isn't considered to be a burden at all. Now, that's not to say that there are elements of it that aren't difficult to live. But all that means is that that's the distance we still have to traverse to have our hearts more conformed to Christ himself, so that we actually relish and love and treasure that God has given us everything we need in order to be saved. This, of course, preeminently is in the person of Christ. Right? Now, he is the law, if you like. Right? Our relationship with him is what informs. It's no longer these external rules and regulations, but a real intimate friendship with the Lord, who instructs us by his Spirit on how to live. So, again, the externalism that Jesus criticizes in the gospel is best informed perhaps on this Sunday through the perspective of what Deuteronomy gives us in terms of how we view freedom in the law. We are all striving for freedom for excellence, that is, to live as we ought, to the capacity to do as we should, not merely freedom from constraint or caprice, which is the freedom to do whatever we desire without any higher moral authority than ourselves. When we learn to obey, we rejoice because we know we are living in God's good graces and that he will bring to fulfillment the good work he has begun in each of us until the coming of his Son in glory. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.